Neglect starts as an infection. And if you don't take care of it, it becomes a disease. And one neglect leads to another. And the worst of all, when neglect starts, it diminishes our self-worth, our self-confidence, our self-value.
If you're holding on to something that does not serve you, you are making a terrible error. It's going to cause all kinds of problems. You may blame other people or other things. You may blame the situation. It's you are the cause of the problem. The man that told me to pick up this book and read it, Ray Stanford, he had a saying. He used to say to me, Bob, you're the only problem you'll ever have, and you're the only solution. I think it might have taken me 5 years to understand that. But I do understand it. And you know something? I am the only problem I'll ever have, and I am the only solution. Don't hold on to anything that is not serving you. Reject it. You know the beautiful part about having an inductive reasoning factor? That's the part that chooses thoughts. You can accept or reject. The beautiful part of your mind, you can accept or reject anything that comes into your world. Accept or reject it. It's a choice. Don't hold on to anything that is not serving you.
If we play the victim role, then we are using our personal power to be helpless. If we decide to accept responsibility, then we don't waste time blaming somebody or something out there. Some people feel guilty for creating illness or poverty or problems. They choose to interpret responsibility as guilt. And some members of the media like to refer to it as New Age guilt. These people often feel guilty because they believe that they have failed in some way. However, they usually accept everything as a guilt trip in one way or another, because it's another way to make themselves wrong. And that is not what I'm talking about. If we can use our problems and illnesses as opportunities to think about how we can change our lives, we have power.
See, the way in which we operate, ladies and gentlemen, it's a manifestation of what we believe, what's possible for us. Whatever you've done up to this point, all that it really is a duplication, it's a reproduction of what you believe subconsciously that you deserve and what's possible for your life. Most people operate out of their personal history, out of their memory, things they've done, things they've experienced, things they've seen, things that they have observed. What I'm suggesting that you operate out of a larger vision of yourself. I want you to see yourself doing what you want to do, experiencing what you want to experience it, having what you want to have, doing what it is that gives your life some meaning and value. Operate out of your imagination, not your memory. Because whenever you look at where you want to go, I'm wanting to warn you, you will have some conversation back here after you go through the data that you've experienced in life saying you can't do it. And so what you want to begin to do is ignore that inner conversation.
Your biggest strength in life will be the perception that you have over yourself. How do you feel about yourself? Your self-worth? What is that? See, confidence is the greatest asset you could ever have. And that is built based on experience, based on living.
You have some narrative in your mind that is so negative that when you look in the mirror, you see somebody worth trashing. You see what's wrong. You pick apart your appearance. And I want to reverse that, because here's the deal about self-confidence. Self-confidence begins with you. You realize the word self is in there, right? I can't give you confidence. I can give you a little boost. I can give you tools. I can encourage you. But confidence is forged in fire. It's something that's within you. And here's the thing I want you to realize about confidence. You are a confident person. That's why you miss feeling that way. You can only miss what you know. You've just been blocked from the feeling of it. And wherever you are right now in your life, I'm telling you, confidence is in there. You just got to figure out how to tap into it.
We're so familiar with ourselves, we tend to take ourselves for granted. We tend to minimize the things we can accomplish, the goals we can reach, and for some equally strange reason, believe others can accomplish things in our field which we cannot. There are literally millions of human beings living narrow, darkened, frustrated lives, living defensively, simply because they take a defensive, doubtful attitude toward themselves, and as a result, toward life in general. Many people are suspicious of and oppose change, yet change is the one thing in life on which we can absolutely count. People who stay young all the years of their lives not only welcome change, but see it for what it really is, new opportunity, new chances for further fulfillment. Attitude is a reflection, a result of a person's will. It is incalculably powerful. It can bring about marvelous results for us, but we need to train it patiently, day by day. Now let's talk about the attitudes of people who are successful. The top 5% of the people who go sailing through life from one success to another and who, even when they fail at something, shrug it off and head right out again. No matter who the person is or what he does, men and women in sales, business executives, people in all the professions, wives and mothers, students, top people in the armed forces, public servants, men and women in the service of religion, working men and women in all fields of endeavor, wherever you find a person doing an outstanding job and getting outstanding results, you will find a person with the right kind of attitude. These people take the attitude toward themselves that they can accomplish what they set out to accomplish, that there's no good reason on earth why they can't be competent, successful. They have a healthy attitude toward themselves and, as a result, toward life and the things they want to accomplish. And because of this, they achieve some remarkable things, and they come to be called successful, outstanding, brilliant, lucky, and a lot of other things. They're quite frequently no more brilliant or outstanding than the majority of the people by whom they're surrounded. But they did develop the right attitude, and they found their accomplishments not too difficult, and many times surprisingly easy, simply because it seems that so few are really trying, really believe in themselves. Successful people expect more good out of life than bad. They expect to succeed more than they fail. Nothing else will work for you until you recognize that you are the creator of your own life and that no one else is to blame for your circumstances. Call it karma, if you will. You may not believe in the concept, but all successful people know it to be true in some way or another. No one can change himself until he realizes that he is the one creating himself and that his self-image is not fixed in stone, but constantly changing. Why is it that one day you can feel happy and confident, and the next day feel sad and depressed? Most people will say it's because of what is happening to them that causes their fluctuations in mood. But this is giving power to the outside world, which is actually completely powerless to affect your inside world of thoughts and emotions. Unless you give it full permission to do so. Owning full responsibility for one's thoughts and emotions is not a common choice in this world. It's much more comfortable to believe that something else is causing them, because it takes away the pressure of personal responsibility. Why own your experience of life when you can just sit back and blame everyone else for it? Well, you have the freedom to choose. But I strongly suggest that you choose more wisely from now on and begin to choose a path of personal growth rather than one of stagnation or decline. I challenge you to re-own your power. From this day forward, you will begin to break the chains of your own making. No longer will you wallow in sadness or self-pity. No longer will you blame someone or something else for your misfortune. You will awaken to your power of self-direction and control. You will choose better than you have in the past and make new habits of thought, feeling, and action that lead you to the life of your dream. It is often in the darkest times that people find the light, because the darkness motivates us to find a way out of it. Whatever you are going through right now, I encourage you to think of all of it as good. The negative experiences in life challenge us to be better and do better. It has led you right here, which is a wonderful thing. Feel grateful for your challenges because they guide you to exactly where you need to be. If you want to have a good life, then you have to practice seeing everyone and everything as inherently good. How can you be happy when your thoughts are anything less than pleasant? You can't. Happiness is a choice and a habit. You may see the world right now in a very gloomy or disempowering way. But it is simply a habit, and habits can be changed. At any moment, you can choose to see things differently, You can choose to stop judging that person or situation and start accepting it for what it is. You can choose to love the people who hate you. You can choose peace rather than argument. It is all a choice. We all walk around with different colored lenses on. One person walks around with gray lenses and says, "Look how sad. Everything is gray." While another person walks around with blue lenses and says, "Look how beautiful. Everything is blue." Who is right? And who is wrong? And who is to say? The world is of your own making. If you are unhappy in your life, it is only because you have been habitually perceiving life in an unhappy way. All it takes to turn things around is to re-own your power of decision. Snap yourself out of autopilot mode and start bringing conscious attention to your thoughts and feelings. They are not set in stone. How you see and experience things are changeable, not according to what happens outside of you, but according to what you choose to experience within yourself.
The most enjoyable moments are the ones where we are fully immersed in what we are doing. When we are intently focused on one single thing is when we experience peace of mind. In other words, no thought. Since the act of thinking is responsible for much unhappiness and suffering in the world, it would be worthwhile to transcend thought altogether. Without thought, there is only peace and pure bliss. Most people can't imagine what it would be like to not think. Thinking is the human condition, but it can be a blessing or a curse. Thinking is actually not necessary in many cases. There lies an incredible intelligence in our bodies that has the ability to guide us through life successfully. More successfully, in fact, than if we were to think our way through life. Thinking clouds our instinct and intuition and can actually inhibit our progress. When we are completely free of thought and in the present moment, we can make decisions with ease and experience happiness in everything we do. Even the simplest of things can bring you immense joy when you experience them as they are. That is to say, experience them without judging or labeling them in any way. You've experienced this state of no thought before. Think back to some of the best moments of your entire life. It's very likely that those moments were spent in a state of no thought, and that's exactly why those moments were so enjoyable. There are a variety of ways that you can get into the present moment and experience no thought, but the easiest of them all is to simply do the activity that brings you the most joy. Perhaps it's playing a musical instrument, reading, hiking outdoors, or spending time with your children. Whatever it is that you thoroughly enjoy, you should do more of it. Immerse yourself in the activities that get you out of your head and into the present moment, because those activities serve a great purpose. They serve the purpose of allowing you to realize your true nature and showing you that joy and happiness is your natural state beneath all the layers of thought you have accumulated over the years. While these activities may seem like only temporary relief from your pain, they actually allow you to evolve and heal your pain. When you find your bliss and immerse yourself in it, you are one step closer to realizing that happiness is always available to you. The more bliss you experience, the easier it is to find it again. Eventually, you will be able to feel happy at your own choosing, no matter the circumstances. Do more of what you love to do, and you will experience more happiness and have more love to give to others. Many people who seem cold and withdrawn from the world are people who feel as if they have little to live for. If they only discovered their passion and lost themselves in artistic expression of that passion, they would have more to live for than they could now imagine. Doing what you love and what makes you happy is not selfish. It is one of the most generous things you could do for others. Only when your cup is full can you give anything away. Find your bliss so that others may be inspired to do the same.